Welcome back into the What Podcast, Barry Cordelor Taco. I'm Brad. Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing super. Before we step out of our Bonnaroo comfort zone and talk a little Merlefest this week, I wanted to circle the room and see if there's anything big that might have happened that I might have missed over the last couple of days. I hear that we've got a couple of bits of news, Barry Corder.
What are you talking about? The late night schedule
yeah,
from Bonnaroo?
You're
talking about personally around my house.
Well, I know.
Yeah, we got the late night lineup.
What's dad's personal stuff around the house? What's he doing?
I'm hanging sheetrock today, man. Life is good. Doesn't get any better than that.
Is that code for something sexual?
I wish it was. I'll be playing in the mud.
Okay, this is getting really it's getting really overtly sexual.
You come over to help?
Yeah. Oh, come on, guys.
Come on. What is it Denson says? Elbows to asshole. I'll be elbows to asshole and drywall.
Taco, when's the last time you hung some sheetrock, if you know what I mean?
Oh, you know I'd be hanging it.
I know you do. I know. But the late night sets, I think the one that caught your eye, Barry Corder, of course, is the Shaq Diesel set that I'm sure you are really excited about.
I'm very excited. Actually, it's a really good lineup. We can go through it here real quick.
Please do. We knew about My Morning Jacket because we found that out months ago. But what else did I miss? Who else is going to be there?
So Thursday, Zed's Dead, Liquid Stranger, 070 Shake, Big Frida. Your favorite.
I love Frida. That is going to be a twerking explosion. Are you ready, Barry? Are you ready to twerk?
I know. You got to
get ready to hang some sheetrock.
I bet Big Frida can hang some sheetrock.
Diarrhea Planet and Dead is the rest
of that night.
I love Diarrhea Planet. That's probably the show I'm most excited about on Thursday is Diarrhea Planet. Anyway, but the thing about Frida is that, you know, you can't walk 6 blocks in New Orleans without seeing or hearing some sort of Big Frida coming out of somebody's house, and you know what's happening in that house. The bounce is on. And then Friday, what do we got? Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, I'm gonna go in kind of reverse order because I want to mention something. Boogie T, Dirt Monkey, and Sub Doctor, Diesel, which you just mentioned. Our man Shaq. I'm really looking forward to that. Destroy Lonely, The Midnight, our friend Sylvan Essa. And Subtronics and Wolfpack. And I said them last because I just stumbled across a YouTube video the other day comparing Weather Report and their song Teen Town to Wolfpack's Dean Town. I didn't know anything about Wolfpack. I know Weather Report very well, so I was kind of curious to have stumbled across that.
So you're not hungry like the wolf?
I'm gonna be. Yeah, I'm actually very excited.
Wolfpack. All right, and then Sunday? Or is that Friday? Saturday. Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Saturday, as you mentioned, my favorite band, My Morning Jacket, Korn, Lewis the Child, Jid, and STS-9.
So which one are you choosing? Are you choosing My Morning Jacket or Korn? Because I am sure that they're going to be in the exact same time slot.
I'm going to do My Morning Jacket.
What? No. Yeah. I'm stunned.
I could probably go see Korn and the other four during the time that I'm going to guess My Morning Jacket's going to be on stage.
So. My Morning Jacket show is going to be pretty fantastic. They're going to have a whole thing around that show and not the anniversary, but looking back at their set from years ago in the rain. I can't wait. I've said this a lot about My Morning Jacket. I don't necessarily think that they are, for me, the easiest sessionable band. Just put them on and listen to it. I've never really experienced them that way that I've loved. But, man, that live show is something so special and so fun and big. And it is going to be big. It's going to be a moment. And it's going to be one of those magical Bonnaroo moments that I don't think that you want to miss.
I agree, 100%. I can listen to them, while I'm working around the house hanging sheetrock, but that's where I'm a little different. But I agree, live it's something completely different. So.
What about Taco? Is Taco doing Korn or My Morning Jacket?
Probably a little of both, a little of column A, a little column B.
Okay. You would be the guy. I know that there's somebody around the farm that has gone to every show in the history of Bonnaroo. You know, there, or at least there was like 7-10 years ago, there was a guy that was specifically trying to hit every stage and try to go to every band. I don't know if he's still around anymore, but that would be what Taco would want to do. He would want to go to every, if you could do 1 year where you just go 5 minutes at every single show, I think you could do it.
Sounds like the path to madness.
Yes, yeah, well.
Yeah, you can tick off all the bands you've seen, but then describe it.
Yeah, what did you see? No, no clue. Yeah.
What are you going to come away with?
It was a run-by.
And then finish this up on Sunday. Well, there's nothing on Sunday. There's no late night on Sunday. That's right. Let me close out the Foo Fighters. Now, we do have tickets to give away for Bonnaroo. Some GA, we'll talk about that here in a second, but you want to jump into Merlefest? Explain how you came across Merlefest with, I mean, this festival's been around forever, and so few people actually know about it.
Yeah, I would say I'm like a lot of people. I've heard about it forever, and probably like a lot of people, thought it was a Merle Haggard type of festival. It's not. It's Merle Travis. Is that right?
Well, Merle Watson.
Merle Watson. I knew I was going to get that wrong. Merle Watson.
See, that's so funny because I didn't even think about Merle Haggard. The first person I thought about was Merle Travis.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Merle Travis.
But I knew about it forever. I mean, long before I think I even really knew much about Bonnaroo. It's just one of those well-respected, well-loved, kind of independent. It's one of those if you know kind of festivals, I guess. But I think even, people who don't go have at least heard of it. So the folks that run it reached out and asked if we would like to have Lindsay on as a guest, and she was great. So.
I love the boutique festival that knows their lane and stays in it and sort of expands their wings inside of that space. And it feels as though Merlefest has got that in spades. Like they've really sort of figured out exactly what their bread and butter is. And boy, oh boy, I mean, every lineup that I've seen, going back how many years now, huge. And did they have Tanya Tucker this year? I know it's kind of crazy to sit here and wax poetic about Tanya Tucker, but I really love Tanya Tucker.
She's great.
What a festival, and what an interesting story, because they have survived this long without the majors sort of tinkering and coming in and buying it, rearranging the deck chairs and trying to make it a corporate entity. No, it stayed homegrown. And the part that is fascinating to me is that they did all of this with no booze money.
I know, right?
You know, they're doing all of this on a dry festival for families. And you know, I always think that, you know, the booze money makes all this stuff go round, but they're doing it without it. And they're doing it pretty successfully.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that stand out you'll hear in this. That's one, the size of the crowd. What'd you say, 70 to 80,000 people? I mean, who knew? This year, Little Feat, Marcus King, Tanya, you mentioned, Tommy Emmanuel, Sam Bush, who's a regular there, the Avett Brothers. Play every couple of years, right? I mean, that's the third thing that stood out to me is they are so well respected that the artists pretty much reach out to them. You know, they don't have to go sell it and go heavy shopping. The artists want to play there because they enjoy it so much. So
yeah. Pretty cool. And so let's do that. Jump in Merlefest on the What Podcast.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Lindsay, welcome in to the What Podcast. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing amazing. Barry, you brought this festival up to me and sort of like the the genus of it and like the soul of it. It feels like something that, well, you describe it. The way that you described it was the best, Barry.
All right. Well, I'm excited about having Lindsay. Lindsay is books Merlefest, and I have to admit, I was trying to think before we got on here, I can't remember whether I heard of Merlefest first or like Lollapalooza or Coachella or some of the others first. Merlefest has been around
since I was in diapers.
Yeah. The other day. it's just from the first time I heard about it, it's just been cool. I don't know how else to, you know, I've never heard a bad thing about it. So that's number one. Number two, we like to, on this show, you know, get the inside baseball kind of stuff, which we've done many, many times with our friends from Live Nation and AC Entertainment, how they book big and small, you know, local and big. This is a chance to talk about Merlefest, which is an independent festival, right? You guys are, yep. And so I just wanted to hear how they've done it.
Well, the way that you say it, it was like it's just cool in that it feels like Jazz Fest for a certain different type of genre, right? You look at this lineup and there's, I don't know, 200 bands on it. You know, like last year, you know, anything from Duran Jones to, you know, Joe Smothers. T. Graham Brown was on it one year. Like, there's like a certain Americana, Old Crow Medicine Show ish vibe to all of this that feels so lovely. Tell me about like the origins of Merlefest and how it got to 1988 to now.
So it was created by the college and Doc Watson as a fundraiser 35 years ago. They wanted to start a garden of the senses. So if you're not familiar with Doc Watson, he was blind. So they wanted to up the grounds of the festival because it takes place off the campus of Wilkes Community College. So they wanted to improve the grounds and create this garden of the senses. So they decided to do this fundraiser, and it was initially going to be an indoor concert. But the demand for it grew so much that they outgrew the indoor space, and, it was actually Rosalie Watson's idea to move it outside, and they set it up on a flatbed truck. That was their first stage. We're actually using that in our marketing this year as part of our 35th anniversary, the image of that.
Does the flatbed truck stage still exist?
No, it doesn't still exist, but we still have images and lots of history from that. So they set it up there, had an amazing first year. And the name Merlefest actually didn't come around until after the first year. They started getting lots of phone calls.
The first year?
It was just the Merle Watson Memorial Festival show. They started getting phone calls asking of when they were going to bring this event back. And somebody called and said, when are you going to have that Merlefest again? And so it just stuck, you know, they started getting passed around and they decided to use it. So ever since, it's been Merlefest, and we're going 35 years strong this year.
So Barry mentioned it being totally independent with no Live Nation or C3 that we're so typically used to hearing every time. How does the process work for you guys when Merlefest comes around, you know, late April? When does the next Merlefest begin? How do you operate the grounds? Who is booking the artists? What is the whole capacity of volunteers or staff look like?
So we've got a combination of staff and volunteers. We have a huge volunteer base throughout the year. We have volunteers that get the grounds ready. We have volunteers who prep getting the credentials and all of that stuff together. And then we have a full-time staff that does all the other things. I'm the talent buyer. So I do all the booking of music. I've got a crew of people, some of our other full-time staff that sit on a panel with us and kind of go over things, throw out suggestions. And then, you know, there's me and the festival director and one other staff member kind of narrow it down.
Yeah.
So we've got you know, people who handle doing the hotels and people who handle the site operations, because it's a once a year festival. So we've got some permanent fixtures. Our main stage is a permanent fixture, and our cabin stage, a couple other stages permanently live there, but we set up a lot for the weekend.
All right. So if you don't have the truck bed stage anymore, how many stages are you working with now?
We're at a total of 12 now.
Whoa. Oh my God. Yeah. So how do you keep all that straight as the main talent booker? Do you farm out some of the other stages to the people that work for you, or are you, when you see a band, you know exactly what stage they're going to go on, exactly what time, et cetera?
Oftentimes when I'm looking at a band, I know what stages I'm thinking of for them. You know, we have kind of themes to some of our stages are, we have a dance stage. So obviously that one's more upbeat dance oriented music. And then a traditional stage where we focus more of our old time bluegrass music. I've got a Creekside stage. That one is sponsored by Come Here North Carolina, which is part of the North Carolina Department of Cultural Resources. So we focus some more North Carolina acts there. And then the other stages are a little more vague, but, yeah, we don't farm any of that out. That's all on me.
Wow.
Is it 100% new each year? Like you said, the Avets come, what, you know, every other mm-hmm. year or something? Are there other acts that you pretty much are penciled in, you know, either every year or every other year or every third year?
Yeah, we have a list of acts, some of which have been with us all 35 years. Acts like Sam Bush, Jerry wow. Douglas. Okay. Jerry hasn't made it every year, but he's been close. Peter Rowan. T. Michael Coleman and Joe Smothers, some of those guys who played with Doc and his band. So those have been coming with us every single year, and they stay on the lineup.
See, that's one of the things that's a little bit different, right? Because people know they're going to be there, and I'm going to guess the artists know they're going to, I mean, they're not doing the same set every year. They're probably having guests come up and join them. I mean, it becomes a pick-and night type of thing, right?
Right.
I mean, that's, I would assume as a fan, that's why I'm going. I'm going to see Sam Bush play with whoever else is on the lineup, right?
Yeah, they often invite, you know, different acts up. If Sam's there, depending on his schedule, sometimes he's not there for the entire weekend. But last year he was. I didn't even know where Sam was going to pop up. That man was all over the festival grounds. He showed up with Sierra yeah. Hole. He was up with Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. He was everywhere.
I think Brad, that's part of what I was alluding to. And I mean, it's just cool. Mm-hmm. You don't know, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like you're going to follow a schedule. It's just go and see what happens.
Well, I kind of like this idea of like where your head is at when you book some of these things. You must really love bluegrass.
I do. But we okay. aren't just bluegrass. A lot of people assume that it's a bluegrass festival. We, Doc named us Traditional Plus, and that's what we like to go by. Yeah. We actually,
that's
I
also,
think if
that's
we
also Barry's with... waist size.
That's right. Used to call that husky back in the day.
I think if anything, we probably skew a little more Americana than anything. But we have a little bit of,
which is wide,
a little bit of
which
it all.
Is wide open.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do some classic rock.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so how long have you been the talent booker?
I started in July of 2018.
Oh, good. Okay, so in those now 5 years, who was the hardest to book? What are you most proud of?
Well, we were very excited, unfortunately, about our 2020 lineup. That was set to be our biggest
year. We all
year,
were.
Before we canceled.
Yeah, and everybody
I think
was.
A lot of
yeah.
festivals had, like, this dream lineup that just came together.
That was the year you had canceled. The Stones, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, we had Willie Nelson though, so we were close. We had God. Willie and Allison Krauss and John Prine, sadly, and mm-hmm. it was a huge lineup. Billy Strings was on the lineup. And we just God. Some of those we haven't been able to recreate since because they've really blown up since, you know, we had them on the lineup, so it's harder to get them now, but mm-hmm. but you know, everything we've put together so far has been great.
Well, because of its established situation, is it a hard festival to, I mean, it may be not for you to answer, because I don't know if you've ever booked other festivals, but does it feel like a hard festival, or is it one you have people calling you want to play, and the hard part is for you to, you know, manipulate and make it work? Or I guess what I'm, are you out chasing, or do you, is it coming to you, or a little bit of both?
It's a little balance of both. We get a surprising number. I think what people would be surprised by the amount of artists that reach out to us that are typically outside of our budget, that want to come just because it's Merle Fest, just because of Doc. They're wanting to, you know, establish a different kind of a reputation, or really grow their fan base. So we've had a lot of that, actually. You know, we've had a couple this year who've reached out to us. Sometimes it doesn't always work. They catch us a little too late, and we don't necessarily have a spot that's appropriate for their caliber. So we'll have to push it off to the next year, but we definitely get people reaching out, wanting to come play the festival.
I mean,
and then we have to chase them down too.
Barry, 1988, Vince Gill, Emmylou Harris, Chet Atkins, Bella Fleck, Earl Scruggs. Yeah. Give me a break.
Well, I was just
Vince
sitting here
Gill
thinking
in 1988?
You had Willie and John Prine. Mm-hmm. I just what you were saying. I'm betting those two can play anywhere they wanted to. I'm betting they said, I want to play Merle Fest. We'll make the numbers work. You know, mm-hmm. They can price themselves out of anywhere, to your point. So, yeah, and to your point, Brad, it's amazing.
And it's been this independent since the beginning. I wonder, and this is going to be, you know, pretty inside baseball, has C3 or Live Nation or an AEG offered to buy you?
I'm not privy to that. If they have, I wouldn't be surprised. I know I've had not people of that caliber, but I've had people try to hire me as a talent buyer, in hopes that they'd get Merle Fest under their umbrella.
Yeah, because there's just so few of festivals like you, you know, Boston Calling being one of them up until last year. You know, it just feels as though every time you find one of these independent festivals, at some point, one of the big operators are going to gobble it up. And to see you guys continually doing this since 1988, you know, that's got to be really impressive. And also at the same time, you know, if I'm one of the big operators, Barry, I'd probably look around and be like, what's it going to take for us to buy these people? What is it going to, what more do we have to do here?
Yeah. Yeah. But, for other people, Brad, who's never been, Barry, who's never been, describe the festival. It's on a campus, right? Is it camping? It's not a city fest.
No.
I mean, how does all that sort of,
so there is some on-site camping and some RV spots. The bulk of the camping is off-site, but close by, within walking distance to the festival. We're a lot different in that we are a dry festival, which is pretty unusual amongst festivals these days. And we're family friendly. Kids 12 and under get in free, with a paying adult, of course. Mm-hmm. We have a school day on Fridays where our high school and middle school kids come on campus and attend the festival for Friday for free. We do school outreach. So we're a little more community oriented, than most festivals. And, you know, it's just a different vibe on site. It's more about mm-hmm. the music than the festival vibe.
When does everything wrap up usually on an evening?
So Thursdays we start a little later. That's our first day. It starts at 3 and then we go till about 10-ish. Fridays and Saturdays we go from 11 in the morning till about 11 at night, and then Sundays about 11 a.m. till 5 or 6 just in the evenings.
See, that's interesting. The people that I know that have gone talk about the camping aspect.
Really?
So I just
is camping. We've got some very popular camping sites nearby. Our YMCA operates a campsite called River's Edge. And there's one that's really popular called Sewer Fest, that's been going probably almost as long as as long as the festival. There's definitely a community of campers that come every year. They get their campsites together, and that's the time of year they get to see each other.
All right, Barry, we're going to play a little game, me and you. Me, you, and Taco, all right? I'm going to give you a band name, and you tell me if they have played Merlefest before, okay? All right. Okay. I'm going to go, let's start with My Bubba. My Bubba. Real Merlefest artist or fake Merlefest artist? My fake. Bubba.
I'll say real.
That is a real Merlefest artist. 2005, were you there at that show? Lindsay, were you,
Lindsay, were you
no,
there?
That My one, Bubba. That one was a little before my time, but I do okay. remember that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next one. Barry Corder, Laura Taco, real Merlefest or fake Merlefest? Shiny Ribs.
Yes.
Laura Taco.
Sounds delicious, but I'm gonna say no.
Okay, we have a tie game that is a real Merlefest artist.
They're
Shiny
a favorite.
Ribs.
Are they
really?
Big favorite, yes.
Tell me about
who doesn't like a good shiny
Tell me about Shiny Ribs.
So they're from Texas, I believe Austin, and the lead singer is the most entertaining person you will see front of bands, and every year has a huge crowd. He's got people doing a conga line through the fields. So,
all right, what are they playing? What kind of music is it?
They've got a little bit of a bluesy sound to them, but they'd probably fall into that Americana. No, they're Austin, Texas.
Oh, you said Austin. That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah. All right, I got number three for you guys. This maybe break the tie. Sack of Puppies.
I'm going to say no, only because I'm pretty sure that's a punk band that I've probably seen locally.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm saying
no. All right,
no.
Lord Taco?
I'm also going to go no. I'm taking
that
under.
Is not a Merlefest artist. That is a Brad creation. So we're still tied. So we need one more to break the tie Sack for the last puppies. The last one for the win. Pin Monkey.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yes.
That could go either way. Yeah, I think I'll say
well,
yes.
Okay, well, this is not going to work to break the tie if you guys keep answering the same question. Yeah, the answer's yes. Now I've ran out of bands.
That's good, though. That's good. I like Sack of Monkeys. Somebody's writing that down now. Or it's Puppies, right?
Sack of Puppies.
Free band name.
Sack of Monkeys is the Sack of Puppies cover band. Come on, Barry.
Yeah. It's the pandemic.
Yeah, next year there's going to be a Sack of Monkeys.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
the pandemic version.
So who do you – I know you haven't released the lineup yet, or have you? Did I miss something?
No, that
okay.
happened.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we've got most of it out. We'll release the last of it on Monday.
Okay, good. So who do you have so far?
So for Friday, we have the Avett Brothers. We mentioned that. And Marcus King is also on the lineup that night. Black Opry Review will be playing on Friday night as well. Let's see. Saturday, we've got Maren Morris headlining. Sam Bush will be playing. And we're doing a Doc Watson 100th birthday jam that the Kruger Brothers are going to host for us. And there'll be several guests on that. Sunday, we've got Nickel Creek, which we just announced this week. Excited to see them back out on tour. They were regulars at the festival before they took their time off. We've got Tanya Tucker, which will be her first time to
hello.
The festival. Yeah.
Hello.
Let me give you a little inside. You may already know. You said it's a dry festival. You might want to have a little something for Tanya.
You know, the artist.
She was at River.
The artists do what the artists are going to do. We don't.
Okay. She was at Riverbend last year, and she and Leslie Jordan like sharing a shot of something. Not Leslie, because I think he's sober. But anyway,
she's got her own tequila line now, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
So.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll be traveling.
Every celebrity has a tequila line at this point.
Yeah, so she'll be traveling with her own, I imagine.
The full lineup comes out by when? When is the full lineup going to be?
Monday the 13th.
Do you have any more headliners? Any more headliners ready to go? Okay.
We do. So Thursday we've got Brothers of a Feather, which is the Chris and Rich Robinson Black Crowes duo that they started doing right before COVID shut down.
That's right. Yeah.
And they haven't really put it back together since. So it's their acoustic duo will be our Thursday night close. We've got Little Feet playing before them and Tommy Emmanuel before him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Donna the Buffalo.
Yep, Donna the Buffalo are regulars for us every year.
All right, how about this? Real Merle Fest band on the 2023 lineup or fake Merle Fest band, not on the 2023 lineup. Adolescent Poetry.
Fake.
Yes.
Yes, it is, or yes, it's a fake?
They're on
okay,
there.
We have a winner. It's Lord Taco. Congratulations, Lord Taco. You've won two tickets to Merle Fest.
Good win.
Can't wait to see Adolescent Puppy or whoever.
So, have you
an adolescent sack of puppies? That's right.
Have you already started working on next year?
We are in the process, yes. We work usually at least a year out.
All right, so when you say it's family friendly, what are the kids doing normally when the parents are doing this kind of stuff? It sort of feels a little jazz festy. Am I wrong about that?
I think that's probably fair. We have what we call our little pickers area. And that's for the kids. We've got different community groups that set up craft areas. They've got a wall they can paint across the weekend. There's jugglers out in the field, and then we've got a little picker stage where we focus younger
cute.
Acts to perform for the
All
kids.
Right, there's,
yeah. What's the crowd size?
Our average in a normal year is 70 to 80,000 across the weekend.
Wow.
Jesus.
Did you hear
Jesus.
That?
My God.
Yeah. I told you. This thing is cool, man. It's
All right, so how many – there's got to be some sort of, like, cooking competition.
We do have food tents on site, but
I was really hoping for like a North Carolina like barbecue cooking competition.
that would be
the place, right? Oh God.
We have a lot of barbecue competitions around us though throughout the year, so that might step on some toes.
That's a huge number.
That's a massive number of people. That's a massive number.
Where are they all coming from? Is it 50 states and beyond?
Pretty much, yeah. We get somebody from every state pretty much every year. We've got a strong foreign, people come from other countries. I know for a while we had a strong presence from India and several different countries.
Huge in Pakistan, huh?
Yeah.
It's got to be a bucket list item for a lot of people.
I think it is,
When I was describing it to Brad, I'm telling you, I've been hearing about this thing for a long, long time from a lot of music snob type people.
Well,
that's where I heard about
it. Well,
we all
just assume when we hear Merle Fest, we just assume it's Merle Haggard Fest, and it's not that at all. You're right. The more that you have always, you keep bringing it up to me, and I always just sort of like, oh yeah, the Merle Haggard Fest. And you have to always remind me, no. I always assume that it's in the middle of the country. No, it's North Carolina. To be as prolific as you guys have been since 1988 and still gaining, people like me and still actually having to teach the audience and teach new people what this festival is, man, you guys, think if it's 70, 80,000 now, what it could be in 5 years. My God.
But along those lines, Lindsay, what's the secret? Why do you think? I mean, it's been around for a long, long time. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
You have not only fans, but artists. And obviously, you're not selling liquor, which, is a huge revenue maker. So what's the secret to keeping this thing not only going, but so relevant?
I think I honestly believe it's just the vibe of the festival, the fact that it is family friendly and that, we have a lot of people who've been coming since the beginning that have, grown their families and continue to bring their families and start a whole new tradition with each generation along the line. We're not far from a college campus. We're about 30 minutes away from Appalachian State University. So that, I think, helps keeps us relevant with the younger crowd. Paired with the artists that we bring, like the Avett Brothers and Maren Morris. And then I think the artists help us with that too. They keep us relevant because they share with other artists that, we've had more than a handful of them say, this is where I like to come. This is like summer camp for me to come here because I get to hang out with my friends. The audience is here to listen to the music. They're not loud and obnoxious. They're just there to enjoy. So I really think that makes the biggest difference for us.
You know, Barry, it's so interesting. I haven't thought about this, but how the music experience changes if you don't have booze. Because I mean, imagine how much more focused and into it you're going to be. When I'm boozing, I'm just screaming at Lord Taco. You know, Rice!
It's a lot less, screams for Freebird coming from the audience.
You're telling me in the middle of North Carolina, they're not screaming for Freebird? I don't know if I believe you on that one.
Just as an outsider, I think if I were to pinpoint it, it's the musicians part of it, because that's what I've heard. The musicians want to play there, and that, you know, that feeds back and forth and so on. But that's what I've always heard. That's a place where I've heard musicians say, I want to do that for whatever reason.
That's fascinating. So, what a cool. Really interesting festival, and great work on it. I feel like I've learned so much, and I feel so bad for assuming for so long. And I won't lie about that. I just assumed, you know, a million different things about this festival, and the fact that it's as independent as it is and you guys do as well as a job as you do. Congratulations. It's really a testament to, I mean, you must have a group of people that's been there since day one who refuse to let this thing go away and keep the spirit alive. So that, I mean, that's fascinating to watch.
Well, that brings up a question I hadn't thought about. It kind of goes back to your, you know, Have you been approached with somebody trying to buy it? Is it a struggle to keep the board, if you will, in line, or is it pretty easy? Everybody, you know, this is what we're about, and this is what we're doing, and, you know, that's it.
All of the people involved at the festival are very dedicated to keeping it as Doc wanted it and as it was intended. Cool. It's a fundraiser for the college, and that's our purpose. We know we're a nonprofit. Yeah. Our goal is to keep that campus going and growing, and we make sure we honor what Doc would have wanted at all times.
You know, it really helps. Everything helps, Barry, when you don't worry about the profit center of it, you know.
Yep.
You know, everything becomes a little bit easier. Man, it was so nice meeting you, Lindsay, and hopefully we'll get to North Carolina soon enough for Merlefest. It's a very intriguing festival. So
thank good you luck guys. This year. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lindsay, for doing this. This was fascinating.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. See you soon.
Looking for premium bedding at a price that feels just right? Sheik's end-of-year warehouse sale is here, with savings of up to 75% site-wide. Backed by over 25,000 five-star reviews, Sheik's bedding is unbelievably soft, breathable, and thoughtfully designed for real restorative sleep. And right now, you can experience that comfort at some of the best prices of the season. That's up to 75% off, available now through January 4th, an opportunity to truly feel the difference great sleep can make. Whether you sleep hot, want that cozy, consistent feel, or just need a better set for every night, Sheik's delivers the comfort you deserve, no matter how you like to sleep. Stock up for your bed, the guest room, even a backup set, and try any Sheik's bedding with a 60-night risk-free guarantee. The end of your warehouse sale ends January 4th. Go to sheiks.com and save up to 75% today.
There you go, Merlefest. What are the dates on that again, Barry Corder?
April 27th through 30.
Oh, okay. All right. So same first weekend of Jazz Fest. So if you were to drive to Merlefest, what is the drive like from you guys?
No idea.
It's got to be a while, right? It's a trek.
It's in North Carolina. What's it close to?
Boone?
Boone?
That's not that bad, actually. Yeah, that's not that bad.
Too bad.
The upper corner.
Yeah.
It's not so bad.
All right. So the thing that we mentioned earlier in the show, we have Bonnaroo tickets. How are we giving these away, Taco? Did we ever come up with an idea for that?
I was about to ask you the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, stay tuned next week. We'll find out how we're giving away these tickets.
No, we've got a bunch of people signed up on our mailing list. So there's clearly interest. People want to learn how to get these tickets. So,
hey, okay. So that's a good question. We have a mailing list.
Yeah, we've always had a mailing list.
Well, somebody, let me take a note of that. is it like an email list?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, sign up for that. And whoever signed up for that, we'll pick from one of those people. What do you say?
We'll get somebody. We'll find a fun way to pick it.
All right.
Person. Yeah.
Yeah. We need to do it pretty soon so that you guys, whoever wins, can make their arrangements. We understand that. So we'll do it pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, last year we did an art submission. I mean, this, you want to make us a GIF that we could do that? I don't know. We'll figure something out. We'll have it figured out by next week.
Maybe write in a Bonnaroo story or memory or something that maybe will help stand out.
Okay. All right. We'll have an official idea this time next week. How about that?
Okay.
Fair enough.
It'll be the first time we have an official idea.
Stay tuned for our first ever official idea. All right. We'll talk to you next week on the What Pack Podcast. Love you. Bye.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.